grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Holy Gospel for this Sunday, the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew, the first and the second verses. And again Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son." I want to begin this morning by reading again the epistle for this day from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the translation found in the New English Bible. These words are as pertinent now as they were when St. Paul first wrote them to the Christians in the city of Ephesus. "Be most careful, then, how you conduct yourselves, like sensible men, not like simpletons. Use the present opportunity to the full, for these are evil days. So do not be fools, but try to understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not give way to drunkenness and the dissipation that goes with it, but let the Holy Spirit fill you. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, give thanks every day for everything to our God and Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ." Be most careful, then, how you conduct yourselves, like sensible men, not like simpletons. Use the present opportunity to the full, for these are evil days. That's St. Paul's warning. But he also provides words of encouragement. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your hearts to the Lord. This morning, we're singing one of the truly great hymns of the church, a joyful hymn, the lovely communion hymn, "Soul, adorn thyself with gladness, leave behind all gloom and sadness." But this joyful hymn was in fact written during very evil days. It was written by a Lutheran lawyer, Johann Frank, and the tune composed by a Lutheran organist, Johann Krieger, during the 30 Years' War, which lasted from 1618 until 1648, and in which half the population of Germany perished through war and famine and disease. Those were truly evil days, but even those evil days couldn't extinguish Christians' joy in the Savior. And so the poet sings, "Soul, adorn thyself with gladness. Leave behind all gloom and sadness. Come into the daylight splendor. There with joy thy praises render." And it is that note of joy which resounds in all the scripture readings on this Lord's Day. First, we hear the prophet Isaiah's invitation to the spiritually hungry and thirsty to come to the banquet of God's freely given mercy and compassion. Then we hear St. Paul exhorting the Christians in the city of Ephesus to sing and make music in their hearts to the Lord, always and for everything, giving thanks. And then we hear our Lord's parable about the king who extends a gracious invitation to the joyful wedding banquet for his son. Yes, it is the note of joy which resounds in all the scripture readings on this Lord's Day. But in the gospel for this Lord's Day, we not only hear the unmistakable note of joy in the king's gracious invitation to the festive wedding banquet, we also hear the unmistakable note of judgment. First, on those who simply refused to come, then on those who made excuses, and then we hear of those who did even worse, who seized the king's servants, mistreated them, and murdered them. And then finally, there's the person who accepts the king's invitation, but couldn't be bothered to dress for the occasion. And when the king asked him to explain his behavior, still addressing him as friend, he's simply speechless. He has no excuse. And the king then tells his servants to cast him into the outer darkness. And so this note of judgment provides a dramatic contrast to the joy of the royal wedding banquet. So what does all this mean? Well, this parable is one of several parables Jesus told in Jerusalem during the last week of his earthly life. Parables which were intended as a final call to repentance. These parables recall God's choice of Israel to be his people, the choice vineyard of God's planting. But the parables also vividly recall the terrible ingratitude of his ancient people, their indifference to the words spoken through the prophets, hating them, rejecting them, even killing them, a pattern of disobedience now coming to its climax. For St. Paul tells us that after Jesus told these parables, they tried to arrest him because they realized that these parables were a word of judgment on them. And then, aided by the traitor Judas, they finally succeed in arresting and condemning Jesus, handing him over to the Roman governor, who reluctantly gives the order to crucify him. In all of this, they spurn the heavenly king's invitation to the royal wedding banquet of his son. The royal wedding banquet. Yes, the wedding banquet. There is a sense in which the whole story of God's saving work for us can be said to be a love story, because it begins with the marriage of our first parents and ends with St. John's vision of the heavenly marriage supper of the Lamb. In the Old Testament scriptures, the relationship between God and his ancient people is portrayed as that of bridegroom and bride. And when the Son of God finally appears in the world, his forerunner, St. John the Baptist, speaks of himself as the friend of the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom. And then when people ask Jesus why John's disciples fasted and his disciples didn't, Jesus replied in this way: can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as the bridegroom is with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. And St. Paul the Apostle speaks of marriage as pointing to the mystery of the union of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, and his bride, the Church. And in that very last book of Holy Scripture, we have St. John's vision of the marriage supper of the Lamb, of which the Holy Sacrament we celebrate this morning is both pledge and foretaste. And so in Johann Franck's great communion hymn, we not only sing, "Soul, adorn thyself with gladness," we also sing, "Hasten as a bride to meet him," because this Holy Sacrament is truly a wedding banquet, a celebration of the wedding of heaven and earth, of God and man in Jesus. When at the end of the parable we hear of the person without a wedding garment who is cast into the outer darkness, Jesus is telling us that without repentance, there can be no place at the king's wedding banquet. Yes, everyone without exception is called to the wedding banquet, and everyone without exception is called to repentance and faith in the king's son, whose death atones for all our sin, and who in baptism clothed us with the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness. As St. Paul writes, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How often my thoughts turn to that simple hymn verse. Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand, when I shall reach the heavenly land. The heavenly King has prepared a feast of love and joy for every penitent sinner, and provides every penitent sinner with the wedding garment of his Son's blood and righteousness. He invites us now to the wedding feast of his Son's precious body and blood, which are mysteriously yet truly present in this heavenly feast of love and joy. In the words of Martin Frontzman, the feast is ready, come to the feast, the good and the bad, come and be glad, greatest and least, come to the feast, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard God's word, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things.